Psalm 42, verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue to say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizra. Amesar, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, My rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Thus we have the 42nd Psalm before us. And you'll notice, of course, that there is this resounding theme, Hope thou in God. And sometimes it seems like that's the only thing that we can reach out to is God Himself. And that's where we ought to reach. But nonetheless, it sometimes seems like a lonely place to be when the trials of life are coming hard upon us, as in this psalm the psalmist describes some of the trials that have come his way. That leads me to the first point of the message I want to deal with this morning, the reason for needing hope. I mean, what is there that really drives us to need hope today? All of us, of course, need God in our lives, but it does take something usually to awaken us to that need. Something that will be outstanding or distinct, different. God may use various things in life to attract our attention. And I think probably more correctly, to get our attention. He may deal with us in a particular fashion so that we'll realize that we're helpless. One of the, I think the downfall of man today is that we have a unfounded sense of self-sufficiency. As most of you are aware, the truth of the matter is one of the outstanding religions of our land today, our nation today, is humanism. The idea is that man can fix all of his problems. Usually from a human standpoint, the idea is if we can just get enough money involved, we can cure any ill, we can solve any problem. But that's not the case. If we think about the reasons for the need of hope, and especially as we look into this psalm, I want us to think in those terms today and see if it does not apply in our lives. First of all, the enemy reproaches us. We're told a couple of times in this psalm that there is the reproach of the enemy. Verse 3, the enemy does reproach. And this enemy that the psalmist has to face and deal with has some things to say. And the first thing that the enemy will say to you is that there is no God. There is no God. usually on Sunday morning, as I get ready, there's a program. Sometimes it's kind of a review of the week. One of the people, even this morning, that was presented was an entertainer, and she had come to the conclusion that there wasn't a God. Some enemy told her that. Her mother said she wasn't raised that way. There is an enemy out here today that would do everything in his power to persuade you that there is no God. And I wouldn't be so brazen as to pass judgment upon those folks myself. I'll just leave that to God. Quote him, he said, "The fool has said in his heart that there is no God." And enough said. When God said the man's a fool, he's a fool. When God passes judgment upon a person because of their opinion, it's true. And the fool has said in their heart that there is no God. But there is an enemy out here that would like to promote atheism in this land. And have done from our viewpoint, seemingly a successful job, but understand this, that when it's all said and done, that every person's going to know the truth. One of the well-known atheists, her name was mentioned again this morning in this conversation that went on there for a few moments, Mary Madeline O'Hare. If you're not aware of it, she wound up stuffed in a barrel and buried on a ranch out west of here, just below Rock Springs, out the backside of a ranch. She had some foes that thought she was very wealthy, and she might have had a little money from her atheist association. But I want you to know this, she knows the truth today. And she won't be an atheist today. If you could converse with her, she'd have to readily admit that there is a God. Tragically, many go out into a Christless eternity saying, there is no God. But the enemy, the psalmist said, comes and in the greatest, severest of trials, he tries to convince me that there is no God. If that doesn't work, the enemy will say, God can't be found. Even if he is, he's remote. He's lost from you, and you can't find him. But one of the resounding themes through this is, this psalm is hope in God. Amen. Hope in God. There is some hope today. There's a real hope today. But the enemy will try to convince you that you can't find God. I don't know how many folks I've had to deal with as a pastor through the years that they come and they're just absolutely overwhelmed. And they will say, it seems like I can't find God. Well, if you can't find God, stop and let Him find you. Let Him speak to your heart. God's not very far away. In fact, He is described in the Bible as a present help in time of need. When you and I might not even be close to rational in our thinking and in our minds, God still is, and He's a present help in time of need. God can be found this morning. But there's an enemy. That's what I want us to see. The reason we need hope is because there's an enemy that's willing to say you can't find God. And then, when all else fails, the enemy will say, in the greatest of our trials in life, he'll mock you and say, where is your God? Again, there is this theme, well, if there is a God and He's so good, why would He let this happen? Well, if they take an honest evaluation and praise the situation like it ought to be looked into, they'll find out that it comes from the sin of man, not from God. All of the trials and troubles in this life can be traced back to a time in the Garden of Eden when sin entered the human race. But the enemy is ready to say, well, where is your God now that the trial is so great? There is a hope. And have hope in God today. The darkest time in your life. So the enemy reproaches. The enemy will oppress. The psalmist has a unique way of saying things in this psalm. In verse 10 he said, as with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? David said, this is like a sword in my bones. This is something that is constantly there. The enemy oppresses. How does he oppress? Well, he comes continually. He comes continually. He does not let up. He'll find an avenue of approach and he'll come. And he'll come and he'll come until you find the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And find your strength in Him who loved you enough to die for you on an old rugged cross. The enemy will be relentless. He'll come continually. And he'll come unmercifully. I'm reminded of Job. Thank God it's Job's experience and I can learn it vicariously that he suffered it and I can learn the lesson from it and not have to go through the experiences of Job. But I tell you what, when you think of his three friends, they were unmerciful. If there was ever a time that you think somebody would have some measure of compassion, a man has lost his children. He's lost everything as far as wealth is concerned. He's lost his health and he's sitting in an old ash pile scraping himself with a broken piece of pottery. And his friends come and for 7 days they just sit down and look at him and then they say, you sin secretly and you're denying it. Well, I want you to know that the enemy oppresses. He comes continually, he comes unmercifully in your land. And it's like a continual agitation, like a sword in the bones, as the psalmist describes for us. Verse 7, there is a continual onslaught of trials. He said, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. I mean, look at this. I realize this is drawing a picture with words. It's graphic to us, but if you'll see what the psalmist is saying, he's saying there's a continual onslaught of trials. He points out that it's like a cascade of water that comes in a wave. And just as soon as that wave has passed over you, you look up and there's another wave coming behind you. You might be saying, that's my life. That's my life. At this moment, the trials are just like this. They've come and they've come and they seem to continually come. That's why we need hope. The psalmist said, all of them have gone over me. Haven't missed a one. Every trial has come like a wave and the one behind it until every one of them have passed over me. See then that there is a need of hope. Let's look at the source of hope. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Now read with me in verse 11 of the psalm. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Oh, he just comes back to the resounding theme that there's a source of hope. And the first thing we need to understand that the hope is God Himself. The hope is God Himself. You and I could not help ourselves. From the moment that Adam sinned in the garden, there was a destiny that we were headed for. That there would be the consequence of that fall in the garden that would permeate the human race. And the honest truth is that we could not help ourselves. Humanism is totally on a false premise. We cannot help ourselves. The hope that we have is in God Himself. There is a prayer in this psalm that is a prayer of discernment as he prays in discernment of God. He said, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Or is there this prayer of discernment that says, I need the Lord. When can I come? Where's the opportunity? And I say to you today that now is the appointed time. Now is the opportunity to cry out to God, for He is the source of hope. The world offers no real hope nor peace. The hope that the world offers is very shrouded and vague. If I could use the illustration of the recent tragedy of the cave-in in the mine. It seemed like there might be a hope as the drills began to drill down to the caverns where they thought maybe the workers would be. And as every foot was drilled from the earth and they drew closer and closer to the place, they had a hope that they would find those miners that were trapped underground. They drilled into the space where they thought they were and they found no one. That hope was dashed. That's the kind of hope that the world offers. It's momentary and it may be built on something that seems to be working, but then it falls apart. Another then said, our real hope is in the workmen that are opening up the mine and are clearing the pathway where the cave-in was. And then tragically, there was another cave-in and three men they know died in that cave-in. The rescuers. And that's the world's hope today. It offers a hope here and it seems like it's okay for a moment, but it is shrouded and it's vague and all of a sudden we find that hope turns to tragedy. And instead of it being the ones that are trapped, more have died in the effort of rescue. And I'm not even hinting that they ought to cease the effort to rescue those miners. But I want to use that as a picture of the hope of this world and see that this is the kind of hope that the world offers. It's vague, it's shrouded, and all of a sudden what seems to be hope ceases to be hope. And there's a lot of folks today that are living with that hope. They may be on their deathbed and they're hoping that this world will find some cure for that at this moment incurable disease that has taken their life. The world's hope is shrouded, it's vague. The peace of the world is changing and fleeting. How many times in our lifetimes, those of us who are down the road a little ways, when it seemed like that there was an opportunity of peace in this world, and in a moment of time, one shot is fired and all of that peace is shattered. It's the kind of hope, the kind of peace that this world offers is changing and it's fleeting. Therefore, we have to come to the conclusion that our hope is in God. Now, how do we find this hope? I believe there is the answer to how to find this hope in this psalm that we've read today. I believe the first thing that we need to do to find this hope is to develop a thirst for God. Verses 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God and the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Oh, that we might develop a thirst for God today. He said, just like the hart, just like that little cottontail rabbit, they seek out that water hole. They're looking for a place for a drink. Thirst after God, so that you begin to look in the right place. The Word of God. There's always the debate about God and which God is correct. I want you to know the one that is correct is the living God, who can change the affairs of man, and that is knowledgeable enough to leave himself a written record and preserve it to us today. We have it in what we call the Holy Bible. I present to you today that to find the hope that we need to develop a thirst for God. I believe you ought to search your soul today. I believe we ought to desire the truth in the inner man today to find this hope. We ought to desire His presence, as the psalmist said. When can I come into His presence? And I believe we ought to mourn for the lack of spirituality. Verse 3 said, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Oh, that we might mourn for the lack of our spirituality. Then you begin to come to a place that you can recognize God and find hope. Develop a thirst for God. Second thing I would say to you is make your way to the house of God in verse 4. My, remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. With the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that keep holy day. Understand this. Never want to be misunderstood. That the church, as we know it, instituted by our God, through Jesus Christ, His Son, this church, as we know it today, can never save you. I've never given such false hope from this pulpit, and I never intend to. But I want you to know that it's a good place to hear about God. This is a place that the Word of God will be presented to you in such fashion that you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of the soul. So you need to make your way to the house of God. Be committed and faithful to it. Oh, this is a message of hope today, given in the house of God. And the experience in the house of God, as the psalmist said, will bring praise to our God. So we see then we need to develop a thirst for God. We need to make our way to the house of God. And finally, as we think about how to find hope this morning, understand the immutability of God. The world changes, a lot of things change, but I say to you that God does not change. Listen to verse 8. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Verse 9. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And that's a good question. Why would we go mourning? Because God's immutable. He does not change. He will not change. Tell you what, you need that fixed in your mind to understand that when God saves, He saves eternally. When He saves completely. And whenever He saves, He's not ever going to change His mind about it. And nobody's ever going to depose him and say, I'm now God. There's one who said, I will ascend into the hill of God. I'll be like the Most High. But he's never been there. And he's never done that. Because God is a non-changing God and an unchangeable God today. Fix that in your mind. And let that be the hope of your soul. Just three statements in conclusion today. Why go without hope? There's hope available. God is our hope. Third thing, trust Him. Why would you go without hope? God's our hope. Trust Him this morning. If you in your life can identify with what the psalmist has said here about the waves of trial that have come and they've come relentlessly in your life, find your hope in God today. Let's stand together. Musicians, make your way to the front. Prayer the invitation number. Bow your head with me a moment. I want to pray with you. Father, I thank you for your precious word. I thank you for the experience of this psalmist who has given us Psalm 42, passed it down through your word to us today, and we can find our hope in God. And it might be that we've spoken to people today in this service that they know the relentless reproach of the enemy and the onslaught that has come, like the waves of water that have come and they've come. And the psalmist said they've all passed over. And there's a need in that life today. All that there might be one focus, and that is our hope is in God. And with confidence and with diligent faith, they may come and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This invitation this morning. For I pray again in that precious name that is above every name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.